As we return to Psalm 23, David reminds us of this truth. Our shepherd knows exactly what each sheep of his really needs, and that is exactly what he provides. He will always care for our every need.
Welcome to The Word Unleashed with Tom Pennington. Tom is pastor teacher at Countryside Bible Church in Southlake, Texas. Hello there, I'm Bill Wright, and today we continue Tom's series titled Psalm 23. The Bible teaches that when a sinner experiences the grace of God, repents, and believes in Jesus Christ, not only is the sinner made spiritually alive, he or she now has a new profound relationship with the Lord. But what does this new relationship entail? In Psalm 23, we discover six practical results of our new relationship with God. Today on The Word Unleashed, Tom helps us understand this relationship and why it's important for us as Christians to grasp these key truths. Let's join our teacher for more now here on The Word Unleashed.
I invite you to turn with me again to Psalm 23, a psalm penned by David during his reign in Israel, now 3,000 years ago. Here is a short, compact poem that has ministered more grace to more people, even though it is from so long ago. This week I was reading a little bit about Hudson Taylor, the 19th century missionary to China. I was reminded of the fact that Hudson Taylor understood what it is to trust God's provision in one's life. He had complete trust in God's faithfulness to meet his needs. Hudson Taylor in his journal wrote these words, "Our Heavenly Father is a very experienced one. He knows very well that his children wake up with a good appetite every morning. He sustained 3 million Israelites in the wilderness for 40 years. We do not expect he will send 3 million missionaries to China, but if he did, he would have ample means to sustain them all. Depend on it, God's work done in God's way will never lack God's supply." During his many years of ministry in China, Taylor found himself often having to look to the Lord alone to meet his needs. And as a sort of reminder to him of the Lord's care in his life, Hudson Taylor had two Hebrew words transliterated into English, written on scrolls, and then he affixed them to the wall of his sitting room. One scroll had just this word, Ebenezer. It's a Hebrew word that simply means, "Thus far, Yahweh has helped us." Thus far, Yahweh has helped us. On the other scroll, he had the words written, "Jehovah Jireh," or "Yahweh Jireh." Yahweh will provide. Toward the end of his life, Hudson Taylor reported, "I have sometimes met people who said, trusting God is a beautiful theory, but it won't work." He said, "Well, thank God, it has worked, and it does work." As we return to Psalm 23, David reminds us of this very same truth. Our shepherd knows exactly what each sheep of his really needs, and that is exactly what he provides. Just to remind you of sort of the flow and the context we find ourselves in, Psalm 23 begins, you'll notice, by identifying its author, David. Once you understand that, it makes perfect sense why it uses the metaphor of a shepherd. David spent his early years alone caring for his father's sheep there in Bethlehem. So for him, the image of a shepherd caring for the sheep captures the goodness and the grace of God in the lives of all of those who belong to him. Let's read this magnificent psalm again together. You follow along, and as I admonished you last time, try to read along with me in your mind as though you had never read these words before, and you were learning something about your God that you had never seen. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul. He guides me in the paths of righteousness for his namesake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You have anointed my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and steadfast love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Really an amazing psalm. As you noted, there is not a petition in this psalm, not a request, not a prayer. This is a psalm instead of trust, a psalm of confidence in God. Essentially, if we could reduce the message of this psalm to one sentence, it would be this: because Yahweh is our shepherd king, he will always care for our every need. He will always care for us. David was completely confident of God's goodness, both in this life and in the life to come. Just to remind you of the structure of this psalm, some argue about whether there are two metaphors here or one. Some say the psalm is based around two metaphors. In verses 1 to 4, the Lord as a loving shepherd, and in verses 5 and 6, the Lord as a gracious host. But we're approaching the psalm differently, and I think it will bear out as we work our way through. It really is based on one extended metaphor. There's only one metaphor here. It is God as our shepherd, but as our shepherd king. David begins then defining the nature of our relationship with God, and the essence of that relationship, as he portrays it here, is God is the shepherd to each of us who are his sheep, who are true believers in him. And then in the rest of the psalm, David explains the practical results or the practical effects of the fact that God is our shepherd. So really, I think the psalm divides neatly with the statement of fact in the first half of the first verse, and the rest of the psalm is an explanation, an exposition, if you will, of that reality. Now, last time we looked at how to think about God. How to think about God, one powerful illustration of our relationship with him. That is simply in verse 1, the Lord is my shepherd. And just to remind you, I'm not going to go back through it. If you weren't here last time, I invite you to catch up. But we went through emphasizing each of these words. The Lord, the Hebrew word is Yahweh. The one who simply is, the one who is all-sufficient, who needs nothing and no one, but who relies solely upon himself for everything. That self-existent, gracious one who declared himself in Exodus 34 to be the God who is compassionate and gracious, slow to anger, abounding in steadfast love, forgiving iniquity, transgression, and sin, that God is the one we're talking about. The Lord is my shepherd. As I mentioned last time, although the verb of being is not in the Hebrew text, all of our translations supply it because even in Hebrew, it's clearly understood. He is. This is a current reality. This is a current state of being. Yahweh is my shepherd. Yahweh is my shepherd. You know, the emphasis really in many ways falls here. It's shocking because the Old Testament is filled with examples, as we looked at last time, of God as the shepherd of his people, the flock of Israel as a whole. But here, David dares to make it much more personal. The Lord is my shepherd. And then we examine the Lord is my shepherd. Now, in looking at that term shepherd, we ask the question, why? Why did David choose the image of a shepherd with his sheep to picture our relationship to God? And you might be tempted to go with the easy answer, well, because he was a shepherd. But it's more complicated than that. The image of a sheep certainly best describes us, and I think that's one of the reasons he chose it, but also because the image of a shepherd best describes God's role in our lives. And we'll see that as it unfolds. There really is no better picture of God's care for us than that of a shepherd caring for his sheep. And then a third reason I think he chose this picture was because in the ancient world, and we see glimpses of this even in the scripture, kings were often called the shepherds of their people. So Yahweh then here is likened to a shepherd because he is our shepherd king. Now we noted that the New Testament tells us that this shepherd king came into the world. Jesus said in John 10:11, I am the good shepherd. Hebrews 13:20 calls Christ the great shepherd of the sheep, even Jesus our Lord. This shepherd who is our shepherd is Yahweh, but specifically, he is the second member of the Trinity who has come and has become the good shepherd, the great shepherd of the sheep. Just as a shepherd does with his physical flock of sheep, Christ chose us to belong to him. He bought us. He bought us at his own, with the cost of his own blood. And he knows each of us individually. He has made us his own, and he delights in caring for us. You see, Psalm 23 is the divine job description of Jesus Christ, our shepherd king. He labors night and day for our good. So understand this. When we say, the Lord is my shepherd, we are really saying, in New Testament terms, Jesus is my shepherd. Now we begin the second part of this psalm. And I've entitled the second part, beginning at the middle of verse 1 and running through the rest of the psalm, What to Expect from God. What to expect from God. 6 practical results of our relationship with him. So in verse 1, we saw how to think about God, one powerful illustration of our relationship with him. But then beginning in the middle of verse 1 and running through the end of the chapter, we have what to expect from God. Now, let me show you the breakdown. The second half of verse 1 is a summary of what we can expect from God. I shall not want. And verses 2 through 6 are some specific expressions of what we can expect from God, or 6 practical results of our relationship with him. So then, the second half of verse 1, the summary, verses 2 through 6, some specific results. So let's look, first of all, at the summary, in the second half of verse 1. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Those words really are the keynote of the psalm. What is the relationship between the first half of verse 1 and the second half of verse 1? It's one of cause and effect. Because Yahweh is my shepherd, I will never want. As long as Yahweh is my shepherd, I will never experience want. Now, the Hebrew word for want here does not imply that God will so lavish me with blessings my whole life, kind of an Old Testament prosperity gospel, that there will never be anything else I want. That's not what he's saying. Nor does David mean that all of my desires will be met. The Hebrew word that's translated want means to be devoid of something or to lack something. Because Yahweh is my shepherd king, because Jesus Christ is my shepherd, I will not lack ever the care I need. The one who has the Lord, the one who owns all things, will have everything he needs. He will supply for us whatever is good in itself and whatever would be good for us. His sheep will have everything that he decides is good for them and is necessary for them to enjoy the gift of life he's given them to the fullest in his time and in his plan. The main idea here in the second half of verse 1 is that our shepherd is never lacking, never deficient when it comes to caring for his sheep. Philip Keller, who wrote a book on the 23rd Psalm, he was an Australian shepherd for a time. He wrote a book on the 23rd Psalm. He writes this, "I shall not lack the expert care and management of my master. He is the owner who delights in his flock. For him, there is no greater reward, no deeper satisfaction than that of seeing his sheep contented, well-fed, safe, and flourishing under his care. This is indeed his very life. He gives all he has to it. He literally lays himself out for those who are his." This isn't always true of shepherds. There are hirelings who care nothing for the sheep that they care for. There are also spiritual shepherds who neglect their flocks. I want you to turn with me to Ezekiel 34. Ezekiel 34, here Ezekiel compares the spiritual leaders of Israel to shepherds, and he describes them in awful terms. Ezekiel 34, verse 1, "Then the word of the Lord came to me, saying, Son of man, prophesy against the shepherds of Israel." These are the leaders of the nation. "Prophesy and say to those shepherds, thus says the Lord God, woe, shepherds of Israel, who have been feeding themselves." These are greedy people who are into their leadership for how it advances their own interests. "Should not the shepherds feed the flock? You eat the fat and clothe yourselves with the wool. You slaughter the fat sheep without feeding the flock." Sadly, these words are all too true in many of the churches today. "Those who are sickly, you have not strengthened. The diseased, you have not healed. The broken, you have not bound up. The scattered, you have not brought back. Nor have you sought for the lost. But with force and with severity, you have dominated them. They were scattered for lack of a shepherd, and they became food for every beast of the field and were scattered. My flock wandered through all the mountains and on every high hill. My flock was scattered over all the surface of the earth, and there was no one to search or to seek for them. Therefore, you shepherds, hear the word of the Lord. As I live, declares the Lord God, surely because my flock has become a prey, my flock has even become food for all the beasts of the field for lack of a shepherd. And my shepherds did not search for my flock, but rather the shepherds fed themselves and did not feed my flock. Therefore, you shepherds, hear the word of the Lord." Now watch verse 10. This is shocking. "Thus says the Lord God, behold, I am against the shepherds, and I will demand my sheep from them, and I will make them cease from feeding sheep. So the shepherds will not feed themselves anymore, but I will deliver my flock from their mouths so that they will not be food for them." Not only did they not feed the flock, they ate the flock. They devoured those they were supposed to be caring for. These were the spiritual leaders of Israel. So understand, there are spiritual shepherds who don't care for their flock. That was true then, it's true today. But here's the good news. That is not what Yahweh is like. That is not what our Lord is like. He truly cares for his people. You see this, there's a lot of imagery in Psalm 23 that harkens back to the Exodus. Back to what God did in caring for his people as they left the land of Egypt to head to the land of Israel. And let me show you his care, his physical care for Israel in the wilderness. Listen to Deuteronomy 2:7. "For the Lord your God has blessed you in all that you have done. He has known your wanderings through this great wilderness. These 40 years, the Lord your God has been with you. You have not lacked a thing." Nothing you needed. By the way, here's a hint that we're not talking about the prosperity gospel because the wilderness was not exactly a fun place to be, and yet God cared and provided for them through difficulty and trouble as he does for us in this life. You have not lacked a thing. Nehemiah 9:21, indeed 40 years you provided for them in the wilderness, and they were not in want. There's our word. Their clothes did not wear out, nor did their feet swell. When they got to the land, it was no different. He continued to care for them. This was his promise through Moses as they were about to go into the land of promise. On the plains of Moab, this is what Moses said to them, Deuteronomy 8:9. I'm going to give you a land where you will eat food without scarcity, in which you will not lack anything, a land whose stones are iron and out of whose hills you can dig copper. Here's the point. Just as God cared for the nation Israel, his Old Testament people, he cares for us as individual believers as well. So understand then, the second half of verse 1 is a summary. Because Yahweh is my shepherd, because Jesus Christ is my shepherd, therefore I will not want. Because of who he is, because of his nature, because of his care. Now in verses 2 through 6, we begin to get to the specific manifestations of his care. What is it that we will not lack? I shall not want. I shall not lack. What? Well, in the rest of the psalm, David identifies 6 benefits that we will not lack because Yahweh is our shepherd. Our shepherd king will abundantly supply all that his trusting people will ever need. First of all, we will not lack provision. Look at verse 2. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. Those verses just sort of make your heart rest, don't they? And that's the point. Obviously, grass and water are the sheep's greatest necessities. And our shepherd meets the necessities of his sheep in abundance. What I want you to see, though, is the way it's worded. Notice that both of the pleasant circumstances described in verse 2 are solely the result of the deliberate actions of our shepherd. He makes me lie down. He leads me. This describes our shepherd's personal care and provision for each one of his sheep. You see, sheep are the most dependent and helpless of the domesticated animals God made. They can do almost nothing for themselves. They cannot find their way. They cannot find their way back. They cannot care for themselves. They cannot defend themselves. They cannot provide the grass and water that they need. They are completely dependent upon their shepherd for everything. That's exactly how we are. And because of the kind of shepherd we have, we know that he will provide for us. Everything good that we have in this life, physical or spiritual, comes to us from our shepherd, from his provision. Do you understand that God has promised to provide for his own? Notice how David describes God's provision in 2 ways. First of all, he says, he makes me lie down in green pastures. The expression green pastures speaks of pasture land with fresh, green, tender grass. In other words, ideal, succulent pastures, the kind of food that's perfect for sheep. Green pastures are those where the sheep don't need to keep moving from one place to another to find a little patch of grass here and a little patch of grass there in order to be satisfied. David says that our God causes us to lie down in green pastures. Now, that is a remarkable statement. When I ask you to picture sheep lying down in green pastures, when I ask you to picture sheep in Israel, if you've never been there, I think your mind typically draws a picture of sheep grazing in green fields like the green fields of England. Wouldn't that be nice? But if you've ever been to Israel, you understand that's not the picture David had in mind at all.
That's Tom Pennington here on The Word Unleashed with part 3 of his 10-part series, Psalm 23. Tom will have part 4 next time, and we do hope you'll join us then. Got a question about Scripture? The Word Unleashed brings you Ask Pastor Tom on YouTube, where Tom Pennington tackles your biblical questions straight on. Whether you're wrestling with difficult doctrine, seeking clarity on a challenging passage, or wondering how God's Word applies to daily life, Tom wants to hear from you. Don't keep wondering. Send your questions to listeners at thewordunleashed.org. Again, that's listeners at thewordunleashed.org. And connect with Ask Pastor Tom on YouTube today. And remember to connect with us on social at The Word Unleashed. The Word Unleashed is made possible because of the prayers and financial gifts of individuals like you. Please consider partnering with us. You can find out how to do so by visiting us online at The Word Unleashed. And now for Tom Pennington and the entire team, I'm Bill Wright. Thanks for listening to The Word Unleashed, exalting God's glory, explaining God's truth.